Hi and welcome once again. This is Mike Moody coming to you from near Asheboro, North Carolina, as we're looking at the life and times of David. So we continue in this series. We're on message number 24. As we continue this Bible study, now looking into the second movement of the life of David, which entails 2 Samuel and paralleling with 1 Chronicles. And now we see during this movement, of course, David is upon the throne. And many positive things have been happening in these early chapters of 2 Samuel. As we see in the ebbs and flow of his life, there are positive things, an upward trend in these last several chapters. Of course, he now rules over all of Israel. We see that he has had a desire to build the Lord a house. We see that he has brought the tabernacle, the ark back into Jerusalem. He's been showing kindness to those of the house of Saul in different ways, such as he had promised he would do. And so we find now in chapter 10 of 2 Samuel, following an interesting chapter of kindness in chapter 9, if you recall, when he showed kindness to the son of Jonathan, his great friend, Jonathan, the son of Saul. And so we find that the desire of David was to show kindness to someone of the house of Saul and of Jonathan, and it was Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was amazed, and we see how he was at the table with the king. He could not understand how such a dead dog as he, even lame at both his feet, would be there continually at the table with the king. And we considered some great applications there for you and me, of how we that come to know Christ as our Savior, we are seated positionally at the table with the Lord because of the mercy and the kindness of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But now when we come into chapter 10, we find David again desiring to show kindness to someone in a different way. We see that there is a death of a king, the king of Ammon, and David desires to show kindness to his son. He sends some of his men to show their respects. And yet, as we read in this chapter, the response to David's kindness will not be received in the same way as we found with Mephibosheth. So as we pick up in chapter 10 and verse 1 and 2, we read about how after the king of Ammon had died, Hanun, his son, reigned in his stead. Verse 2, David said, I will show kindness or grace unto Hanun, son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness unto me. Now it's interesting, if you go back in 1 Samuel 11, and we see this king of Ammon years ago, under the time and rule of Saul over Israel, how there was a bit of an issue there, and there was a situation of Saul and this king of Ammon being enemies. And because of this, we can maybe see a connection here later on when David would be fleeing from Saul. He would be even spending several months, over a year, away from Israel. And we see the connection, some suggest, may be there, where kindness at that time could have been shown to David. But nonetheless, at some point we see this king had shown kindness, and David wanted to return that favor when he dies, in showing respect to his son. And so with this, David sent to comfort him by the hand of his servants for his father. And David's servants came into the land of the children of Ammon. But yet in verse 3, we find there's a concern. And you can read the same story over in 1 Chronicles 19. And we find that the servants of this king of Ammon, well, the princes, they are called, they have a concern. They suggest, well, you know, maybe David is not really showing respect to you. Perhaps he's just sending spies in among us. So this son of the one David wanted to show kindness to in regards to him and his death, we see that he doesn't take it seriously. He doesn't, in fact, he believes his princes instead, and the result is not good. We read in the next several verses, beginning there in verse 4, that David's servants, as they come upon Hanan, they have their beards, half of their beards only, shaved off. And even their garments would be cut off up very high in an embarrassing manner. And so they're sent away embarrassed and mocked. Verse 5 tells us, when they told it unto David, he sent to meet them, because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, tarry at Jericho until your beards be grown, and then return. David gives him opportunity to kind of recover from this embarrassment. Before you come all the way back, wait a while in Jericho. Well, we see David's response now is quite interesting. It's consistent with what we see in other times. Remember, David is the king. We see he is a man of war. He's been a warrior all the way back from the days of Goliath, and having killed tens of thousands of Philistines and others. We see his response is to retaliate. So in doing so, we see here in verse 6 that, well, Ammon, the people of Ammon, they realize, well, they now stink, as it says, in the sight of David. They've really got on the bad side of David. So they go about and look for help. They hire the Syrians to come in and to battle Israel. So then we find David prepares. Verse 17 to 14, David sends his leader Joab and his mighty men to battle against the Syrians. And yet Joab's brother Abishai, he goes to battle and against the Ammonites. So kind of a twofold approach here, taking on the Syrians and the Ammonites, and they plan, Joab and his brother, to help one another if necessary. And we notice here in verse 12, the response of Joab, be of good courage and let us play the men for our people and for the cities of our God. And the Lord, Jehovah, do that which seemeth him good. So he commits the battle to the Lord. The result we find in the following verses 15 to 19. We find here that after Syria is defeated and tries to regather themselves together, they cross the river. Well, David hears about this. We see that David then gets his men prepared. They go across the river. And we see how they destroy 7,000 chariots and 40,000 soldiers and their captain. He just totally destroys them, to the point, as we see at the end of the chapter, we find that they decide to make peace. And we find that they end up being servants to Israel. And they feared, as it were, to help Ammon any longer. You can understand that. And so when you compare the last chapter to this one, to how David had showed great kindness to the son of Jonathan, and of course Mephibosheth responded in a positive way, not so much here with these that would be enemies of Israel, and yet we see David and his approach. And so as, again, a king, as a military soldier and military leader, we see his retaliatory response, in a sense, defending the name of Israel. Yet, for us, perhaps there's a principle in our last moments we can think about. In the New Testament, we can think about how would our response be appropriate when people don't reciprocate to us what we feel like they should, when we treat them with kindness, or we show mercy to them, how should we respond? Well, we realize that Scripture tells us, such as in 1 Thessalonians 5:15, not to render evil for evil. Someone does us wrong doesn't mean we should just justify, hey, it's okay, I'm going to retaliate. Well, as well, We can look at the Lord Jesus as the perfect example. We see him in 1 Peter chapter 2. And we see there in verse 21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously." Of course, the passage goes on to talk about how he took the ultimate price, and he went all the way to the death of the cross. He bore our sins in his own body upon the tree. Moreover, over in the book of Philippians, the book that reminds us as we think of the assembly there at Philippi, being exhorted to be of one mind. To have unity and be of one mind in the assembly. And time and again, Philippians reminds us to be of one accord and not to have strife and vainglory. And yet the key is in chapter 2. Again, it's Christ, the perfect example. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." That wonderful passage that goes on to speak about him as the perfect God-man, the perfect servant, who humbled himself and went all the way, yea, to death, even the death of the cross. Passage goes on, though, to speak about how he has now been highly exalted. We see him now at the right hand of the majesty on high. And yet there is Christ, the perfect example. We see how, instead of retaliating, we see how he, in humility, he came and he did the Father's perfect will. His own creation spat upon him, beat him, put that crown of thorns upon him, mocked him. And yet, there he was on the cross saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So we that know the Lord Jesus, we have the Spirit of God indwelling us. Yes, we still have to deal with the sin nature, and we are tempted to retaliate in things that happen to us. But may we look to the Lord's example and look to not render evil for evil. And yet, as we see the Lord Jesus, we can be so thankful for what he did. He could have looked out at all of his creation that was treating him so illy, those that were putting him upon trial, and those that falsely accused him, put him on that cross. But no, he went all the way to death to pay for your sin and mine. The one who knew no sin was made sin for us. Oh, we think of the scripture in Hebrews that speaks about for the joy that was set before him. There was a goal, there was a purpose to fulfill the Father's perfect will, and as Hebrews also tells us, that he might bring many sons to glory. If you don't know him as your Lord and Savior today, consider this. We're all born sinners. We're all guilty before a holy, righteous God of sin, and we deserve the lake of fire. But because of the mercy in the grace of God, Christ didn't give us what we deserved. Instead, he took upon himself our sins and went all the way to the cross and died for you and me. Do you know Christ is your Lord and Savior today? I pray you'll consider that if you know not the Lord Jesus. And for those that are believers, I pray you'll continue to think on this series as we look at the life and times of David. Thanks for being with me again.